I want you to open your Bible to the Old Testament. I'm privileged to be standing in front of one of our graduating classes. Been many years I've been doing this, and God has blessed us. Good graduating class this year. Not all of them are present this morning, almost, and we appreciate them coming. Joshua chapter 24. Chapter 24. Just before I read it, I'm going to talk to you on the subject this morning, God's replacements. God's replacements. I guess I'm thinking a little bit of our young folks and our graduating class. Most of us know what it is to be replaced at some time or another, don't we? It was not always good news when the coach said, "I'm going to replace you." On the battlefield, it was good news to hear replacements are on the way. So it can have double meaning, maybe not a good meaning sometime on the job or something. I think about the young man that went to the father and asked for the daughter's hand in marriage. And the old man said, "Son, are you trying to replace me? Can you actually give my daughter all the things she's accustomed to?" He said, "No, sir, but I'd sooner accustom her to what I can give her." And truth is, God does. He is in the replacement business. I'm reading here in Joshua. Joshua's replaced Moses. I hope you know your Bible enough to know the story that I don't have to go back through to tell you. God uses Moses to deliver the Jews, the Israelites, out of Egypt and the bondage and the slavery. And yet he didn't let Moses take them all the way into the promised land. Remember the story? He took him up on Mount Nebo and he's buried and nobody knows exactly where, but God had an issue with Moses. It's important, the things you read in the Word of God, the doctrines, the truths. Out in the wilderness with all the temptation and all the trouble and all that went through, there come a time they needed water. And God told Moses to smite the rock, remember? And the water came out. Well, they began to murmur again, and another dry time came upon them. You remember the story? And how all of a sudden Moses is mad at the people now. They're murmuring and griping. Most pastors have been in that place a time or two. And he told Moses, "Speak to the rock." But Moses, in his temper with the people, smote the rock again. Big mistake, because the rock was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, we find out he is that rock. And you see, Jesus was crucified, smote one time for us. You got some religion teaches you that he dies again for you every week. That's a wrong religion. He was smoten once, just once. From that point on, we're supposed to speak to him. And so Moses didn't get to go in the promised land, and God buried him there, but he called in a replacement, and that replacement was Joshua. And we have the book of Joshua here that we're reading our text from this morning in chapter 24, and we'll start reading here in about verse 14. It says, "Now therefore," now Joshua's speaking. It's his farewell message, so to speak, to Israel. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, to choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods," little g gods I call them. "For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy and a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt, consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Now Joshua's speaking to them here, and they're remembering what God has done for them, and now they are making a promise here that they're going to stay true. And Joshua here has come through a crisis time, 40 years in the wilderness, all the troubles, all the miracles God had done, and yet now Moses is dead. Joshua, the young man, is he's Moses' replacement. He's stepping out in front now, and he's coming out of a crisis time, the 40 years in the wilderness. I'd say to our young people this morning, we call this a pandemic thing, a crisis and all that. We are in a great dark time in America today, and I'd say to our young people, I hope we got some Joshuas out there that will stand up and be God's replacement and realize all of a sudden I got some responsibility. I got decisions I got to make. I can't always run to mom and dad. I can't always run back to my teachers and the preacher or somebody. I've got to stand. And I believe we do have those even before us today. And while we're looking in the country today, hopefully to get opened up and get a new start and try to get back to something that is right, I want to say to you, it'll not happen unless somebody stands up and takes the lead and says this is the way we ought to go. And this present crisis, I'm hoping we're going to get started up again from this crisis, whether it was fake or real. How much was fake and how much was real? It has crippled our nation. It has crippled our society. There's no doubt about that. And there's going to be a lot of choices to be made ahead. This group sitting in front of me and many others will be having to make choices that some of us that are older of getting past the time that we can make them. Somebody's got to replace us. Somebody's got to stand, as it were, in our place. Now, I look around today and see our nation in jeopardy, no doubt about it. Freedoms being lost, constitutional rights being garbage canned, so to speak. There's a crowd out there wants to replace good old free America with a dictatorship and socialism. That's too bad, folks. Socialism is not sharing the wealth, it's sharing the misery, is what it amounts to, really what it amounts to. And they're talking about the new normal today. You better fear that. The new normal is without your rights. The new normal is without your freedoms. The new normal, you don't make the decisions, the government makes them for you. You earn, but you don't keep it. You give it to the government that they can scatter it around and spend it where they want to. We got a new stimulus bill coming, several trillion more dollars. By the way, somebody says, where's that money come from? Well, it actually comes from the printing presses. But after a while, it can become worthless. If you'll go back and check what happened to Germany as Hitler came to power, and I believe Hitler was a great type of the Antichrist. And as the Antichrist kingdom is getting nearer and nearer, they say the day came and brought Hitler to power was the money was so devaluated, they kept printing it, but it was worthless. They said a fellow took a wheelbarrow of money in Germany to the bank, and when he got there, the money was not worth the price of the wheelbarrow. I saw pictures of women literally putting it in their stove in the house to start the fire. That's how worthless it became. And folks, if we go down that same trail, we'll wind up at the same spot, is what it amounts to. I'm hoping some replacements step in Washington and other places. I'm tired of some of them I see up there in Washington. I hope they get replaced. Amen. I've never seen Nancy Pelosi look any better than when she put on that mask. They just need to be larger. Amen. Anyway, so I didn't come here to hear that. Well, there's no other church open. Where were you going to go? Now I'm playing with you some. But the truth is, we need some replacements in a lot of places today. And I'm praying for this class and others like them that will stand up with some backbone and be the replacement that God wants. Joshua stood up, brother. He was the replacement God put in the place. He was a young man. Now, by the time he makes this speech, he's gotten older. He's at the end. But he stepped in as a very young man under Moses with all the responsibility that fell on him. But he took that responsibility and he led the children of Israel. They were cowering in fear. They got to the border of Kadesh Barnea and they got afraid of the giants, and they doubted God and lost faith in God, and God let them spin their wheels in the wilderness for 40 years. But then he let Joshua and another man by the name of Caleb that showed some faith step out and lead them. And Joshua here is a young man, now grown old, but he's done a good job as the replacement of one of the greatest, if not the greatest man mentioned in the Word of God, Moses. As I look at this and realize the next generation, these grads here before us, yes, they're the next generation. They're the type of Joshua here that I'm talking about, but they're going to face some choices. You know, your choices are made on what the world calls data, information, but if you got false information, you'll make bad choices. And I'd say to these young folks and all of us, you better know where you're getting your information from. It needs to come from the Word of God. It needs to come from what is right according to the Word of God. And you better watch out for the crowd today that is spinning with their bias and deception. Everywhere you look, folks are being deceived today, and they're making bad choices because they've been deceived. We look around today, and we're facing some choices. These young folks will face some choices. Just like Joshua did. Where you get your information, true or false? You know, Joshua gave some advice here in the text I read. He told these Israelites, stay with the Lord God. Don't depart after these other gods. Don't go after these false gods of the world. He reminded them of the miracles and the deliverance they'd seen at the hand of God, starting with the parting of the Red Sea, with the manna falling in the wilderness, with the water coming out of the rock, all the things God had done, you'd think those Israelites would never turn their back on God. But they did. But they did. As you read the Old Testament, you find out they were up and down. They were in God's blessings, and then they'd depart from God, and God would punish them, and finally they'd come back in repentance and get the blessings again, up and down if you put them on the graph. And the sad truth is, we look around and see that's human nature today. Unfortunately, it's even the old nature that we Christians still have, that we have to guard against and watch against all the time. Joshua was warning here against the gods of this world. And I warn these young people, the gods of this world have increased. In the early days, even maybe when I got saved and heard the gospel in a Baptist church years ago, I could have probably at that time gone to a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church and pretty well heard the basics of the gospel. They might have disagreed on small things, but they agreed on the big things. That's not true anymore, folks. Those times have come and gone. Today, deception is on every hand, every kind of false cults, foreign god, ism that you can name has permeated into America. Come into our young people sometime advertising health, workouts, exercise, mind, all this business, you better watch out for it. You're departing from the Lord God Jehovah and His word which He gave you. Don't follow other gods. You'll wind up on the trash heap of history, just like other nations did. The big thing that Joshua was telling them here, don't depart from the Lord God that delivered you out of Egypt. See, there was a contest of gods going on in Egypt. Remember the 10 plagues? How many of you remember the 10 plagues in Egypt? Well, Moses and Aaron said to Pharaoh, let my people go. They didn't do it. Israel had all kind of gods, pantheism, pluralism of gods. Pharaoh would get up early in the morning and he'd go out and worship the rising sun. The sun's not God, it was created by God. Better be careful about that. Pharaoh worshiped that. When God came in and he began to rebuke the gods of Egypt, everything Egypt called a god, God put down. For instance, they had the god of the flies. God gave them so many flies, they didn't want any more flies. They had the god of frogs. God gave them frogs in their bed, in their soup, in the kitchen. They didn't want to see no more frogs. Frogs everywhere. And the sun god, God gave them 3 days of darkness, proving he was the god. Sun couldn't light up without him. So he gave them 3 days of darkness. And the Bible, you ought to read about that darkness. It said it was darkness that could be felt. They couldn't move from the position they were in. They couldn't leave their bed. They couldn't leave their house. It was darkness you can't hardly understand. And God was saying, you think the sun is God? I am the Lord God, Jehovah. And so he taught Egypt a lesson there. And he was teaching the Israelites a lesson as he defeated the gods of Egypt. You know, I'd say this to our grads today. If you live long enough, you'll see the deception of the world's gods. They may flash up for a while, but they don't last very long. And when the truth finally comes out, you'll find out how weak and false and deceptive they were. Don't follow them. Don't follow them. The cults and isms that's taken over America today is tricking a lot of people, a lot of different ones. But there's only one true Lord God, Jehovah. And God, Joshua says in the text, is a jealous God. He's jealous of his name, jealous of what you think about him, jealous if you worship some other God. So I wouldn't work. Well, America's got some homemade gods too. One of them is money. One of them is prestige, another one is popularity, and young people watch out for that. They're just as much a god as the sun god was to Pharaoh. Watch out for that stuff, because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Today, I see a lot of folks, and young folks understand, you're getting this information and that information and this and that and the other, and you're hearing everything, so you just kind of back off and watch. I want to tell you something. Stick with that is tried and proven. Amen. Stick with the Lord God Jehovah and his word. Amen. See, there's a showdown coming. You know what a showdown is. Remember the two cowboys? They argue through the whole picture, and then they have a fast draw showdown. You don't know science? Yes, there's going to be a showdown between the gods before this thing is over. I think it's building right now. I think we are moving to an explosion point, to a critical mass, they say in nuclear talk. We're moving to where it's about to prove who is who and who is true and who is false. We're moving to that, I believe. A showdown is nearing, building fast. Satan's man is behind the curtain, ready to step out. I don't know who he is, I don't know when he will, but I believe all these signs are indicating that Satan is about ready to make his big play to take over the kingdoms of the world. And he'll have a man to step out and say, I'm the one to take over. And he'll reign for a little while, but it'll be a short reign. It'll be a short reign. We got all kind of indications. We're seeing in our own politics in Washington and so forth. Somebody shared with me this week. They've got a HR bill. H stands for House. So it's in the House of Representatives, a bill. They got a bill up there right now that's having to do with surveillance, checking on us. Maybe with drones, yes, some of that. Maybe with your cell phone you carry around with you all the time. You might not know it, but you've got a tool that Big Brother is going to be tracing you with all the time right now. And you wouldn't give it up for nothing. You wouldn't give it up if on the screen it says 666, I am the Antichrist. You still wouldn't get rid of it. You're addicted. And the truth of the matter is, you don't like me for saying that. It's all right. My term is a lot shorter than it used to be, and I can live it. But the truth of the matter is, that's the age we're moving into. Yes, that HR bill up there in the House of Representatives, the interesting thing, guess what the number of it is? 666. And they tell me there's a fourth six in there. That's kind of interesting. Why not 555 or 444? Why is it 666? The devil is behind the curtain. He is pulling the strings. He is manipulating. He is deceiving. Everywhere you look, that is going on today. Yes, there's a showdown coming. Sure it is. And I don't know how quick. I really don't. But I know this, when God moves, it's going to be quick too. He is long-suffering. I said that in Sunday school, not willing that any should perish. No doubt about it, but he is not dead. And he is not senile, where he don't know what's going on, like maybe some of us are getting. But he knows. He knows it all. Knows it all. And when he moves, it's going to be very quick too. Bible says that Jesus' coming is compared to a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Not a blink of the eye, but a twinkling of the eye. Do you ever look somebody in the eye and you thought you saw a little twinkle in it? It wasn't a wink. It wasn't the closing of the eyelid. It was quick. And they tell us the coming of Jesus Christ is going to be that quick. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 says. In the moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. Right? Boy, that'll be great. Things happen fast here when they spread the news about the coronavirus being so deadly and scared everybody to death. They all ran and went to hiding and carried on all this stuff, doing some dumb things. Like quarantining well people instead of sick people. See, in the Bible, when a man had leprosy, he was quarantined. He had to go into the leper colony. They didn't let him go free and everybody else get quarantined. See, we've done some stupid stuff. And some folks are mad at me because I won't wear a mask. I might look better in it, but I would feel worse in it, and I'm not going to wear it. Besides that, after I breathe the germs, I don't want to keep breathing them. Store them up. All right. You want to see my medical degree? See me next week. There's a showdown there between the gods, between those that really know God and those that don't know him. There's a showdown coming. God is going to move. And if you follow the rest of the story, I read the text here from Joshua. If you follow the rest of the story, you'd have to get into the next book called the Book of Judges. You have to find out how the people did that promised Joshua they'd stay true to the Lord God. Did they stay true? Well, if I move over here to about chapter 2 in the book of Judges, I find out they didn't. It didn't last very long. I read over here in chapter 2, it says in verse 7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did in Israel. Verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. They died off. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Wow, the replacements failed. They lasted under Joshua. They lasted under his staff, under his deacon board, under his elders. But they died. And the replacements that came knew not the Lord. They turned. Exactly what Joshua warned them about happened. They went after the false gods. It says in verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. False God. Oh, yes, the replacements here failed. You know, I look around today, and I pray for God to give us some replacements, some good ones. Joshua's replacement failed. But you know what? If you read all the Old Testament, keep following, God would raise up some more that would do right for a while. Then they would fail. Then he'd raise up some more. They'd do right for a while, and then they'd fail. But his final greatest replacement of all, when he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came upon the scene and he didn't fail. He came as the second Adam. The first Adam had failed, thrown the whole human race under the curse of sin and depravity. But the second Adam came. Thank God he didn't fail. I want to say to you, as a natural born human being, I failed and you failed. And there was no way I could have died without paying for my sins. But thank God he sent me a replacement. Amen. Bible says God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I stand before God today as though I had never sinned. Because he looks at my replacement. He looks at the Lord Jesus Christ that took my place on the cross of Calvary, took my sin on him, died in my stead. And God said, I approve, and raised him from the dead. You know what? If I step up to heaven's door, the answer's not going to be, Lord, look, I preached for a while. Lord, I done this and I done that. No, it's going to be, Lord, look at my replacement. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ that took my place. The one that became a substitute for me. The one that paid a price I couldn't pay when he died for my sins and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. I'm so glad God's replacement didn't fail. Do you know him today? Have you let him replace you? Or are you planning to stand in your own works, your own goodness, your own God you may be following? You plan to stand there in front of a righteous, holy Jehovah God, the creator of the universe? You're going to stand in front of him and argue your case? Oh, no, my friend, you need a replacement. You need to be replaced by the sinless Son of God. He's the only one. He's the only ticket to heaven. He's the only one. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you don't have him, you're not going to make it in. He took our place. He took our punishment. He paid our price we couldn't pay. I think about the story I've told you, I think, before, but during Civil War days, as men were drafted into the armies in the Union Army, Union Army had a provision. If a man had enough hardship when he got his call to come into the service, that if he could find somebody that would replace him that had not been called, somebody that would volunteer to take his place, they would allow that. And there's the story of a young man who had a wife and some kids, and things were bad at home, and he came in and he said, I can't go, but my friend, who's single and no family and no problems like I have, he'll take my place. And they allowed that in those days. And the war moved on and battles raged. And the young man that was the replacement was killed in battle. The same man that had received the call to be drafted in got another call. And it is said on record that he went before the War Department and he said, you can't call me, I'm dead. I died, I had a replacement. He's been killed and I died in my replacement. They say that they could not call him legally. They could not again draft him. I want to say to you, I'm going to stand before the judgment and say I've already died in my Savior, in my substitute. He's my replacement. And all the wrath that would fall on my sin fell on him. He paid a price I couldn't pay. Therefore, I can go into the Lord's heaven as though I never, ever had a bad thought, done an evil thing, said a bad word. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Let me ask you this morning, you know what I'm talking about? Have you let the Lord Jesus Christ be your replacement? He wants to be today. He wants to be your Savior. He'll save you this morning if you'll let him. Will you do it? Would you bow your heads with me, please? How many of you can say, preacher, I've been saved. I know it. I know if I stand before heaven's door, I'll stand there represented by my replacement, the Son of God. Can you say that by the uplifted hand this morning? I know it. I know it. He's mine. He's my Savior. I'm trusting him, not my goodness, not my works, no other God but him. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Or you're here today and you'd say, preacher, I need to be saved. I've never trusted Christ. If I stood before God, I would be lost forever. Have me in mind when you pray. Think about me when you pray. Would you lift that hand for prayer while heads are bowed? I'm looking. God's looking. Would you lift that hand? Would you stand with me quietly? Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Father, we know there's somebody out there, maybe in Radio Land, maybe here in the room, they need a replacement. They can't stand before the judgment. But Jesus will stand in their place if they'll let him. Bless the invitation, I pray, that not one would leave the building lost today, but would come to the Savior and have the name written in heaven and be represented by your replacement, your Son. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, will you do it? To come receive him as Savior? Maybe move a membership or something else. I don't know. But you come as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Will you come? Will you come?
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Will you come?
Just as I am, and
waiting. Have you ever come to Christ? Have you ever? Would you be honest and say, what am I trusting? Myself? Some philosophy? Maybe you've been deceived in some other religion. Christ is the only way, God's way. Let's bow our heads a moment. The invitation's still open. I remember as a young man, having never heard the gospel, but believed in my heart there was a God and that one day I'd stand before him. I remember one time standing in a department store, my mother there trying to get a man to fit me for a suit for a school ceremony. And I remember in my mind I was already in trouble even at school and wasn't even sure I'd make that ceremony. And I remember standing there almost in tears, and the man thinking, boy, he was trying to measure me up, and I'm sure he thought I had a bad attitude, but I was hurting so bad inside. I was hurting because of the life I was reviewing, hiding best I could from my parents, but a lot of wrong stuff. And I remember thinking so clearly, I wish I could do it again, start over. I didn't use the word replace it, but that's what I wanted to do. I did use the word, though I'd never heard it, never heard it in church, never been in enough church to hear it. I remember thinking, oh God, I wish I could be born again and start over. I didn't know the truth that I could be born again in Jesus. I heard that years later. But right then I hurt so bad I wanted to do something with all the wrong and the sin and the mistakes that was causing me so much pain. So when I went into church years later and heard the good news, I could get a new start, become a new creature, be born again. That was the best news I ever heard in my life. It's still the best news. All these years later, you don't wear it out that don't only last through this life, it's going to last through the next life. Do you know him? Have you let him be your replacement? So you don't know me. I know you need a replacement. If you don't have Christ, you're not good enough without him. You need his righteousness, his goodness, not your own. I would say to our grads this morning, God bless you on your journey, the choices you're going to face. Just like Joshua told you in the text, don't forsake the Lord God. Don't turn to the other gods. Stay with the one. Stay with the one that blessed you to be born maybe in a Christian home, to learn the truth in a good church and school. Don't forsake that God. He'll go with you if you let him. I pray your best. I'm going to ask all the congregation except the grads to be seated. Thinking about it as they left, how many classes I've seen come and go. My 50th year, we started the school, been here about 2 years, so I guess it's about 48. So still proud to see that, and it still touches me. I still praise God for it, amen. All right, let's stand. Father, may you add your blessing to this class. May you protect them and guide them and help them to make the right decisions and the right choices. Thank you for the parents and the teachers and everybody that's had a part in their lives. Bless and use them. And truly, Father, let them be a replacement to keep your testimony going. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.